Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we pray now as we examine it further that you would speak to us. And we thank you, Holy Spirit of God, that you are present with us, resident here this morning. And we offer this time up to you. Pray that you would touch our hearts afresh this morning. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, my privilege to be with you this morning. But as I stand before you, as always, my desire is that I can offer you something to encourage you in your walk with the Lord. The various scriptures we have today give us some clear guidelines as to how we are to be God's people, and I'd like to focus on these just for a few moments. For 34 years, I was a reasonably regular church attender. I thought I was doing okay as a Christian and lived a good life. How wrong I was. In 1978, God touched me by the power of Holy Spirit, and all of that changed. I came to actually know God and allowed him to enter into my life. What I'm sharing with you this morning was something I really didn't know. In these past 48 years, I've been privileged to have had some amazing Bible teachers and leaders who have helped me greatly in my quest to truly know God. Can't say that I fully know him, but I'm knowing him in part, as we're told. But I've done my best over the years since to share what I've learned so that others may come to know him also. And that's really what's in my heart, always. Christians are to be people of the Spirit rather than people of the flesh. And right at the beginning, when the church first began, those couple of thousand years ago, the first disciples were activated and motivated by the Holy Spirit. And Jesus himself only began his ministry after he was baptized and filled with the Holy Spirit. Matthew's gospel says it like this in Matthew 3:16, "Then Jesus, when he had been baptized by John, came up out of the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting upon him." What an amazing experience. If Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be empowered by Holy Spirit, surely every single one of us here needs the very same thing. As God's people called and set apart by him, the only way we can be what he wants and do what he wants is to be constantly led by the Holy Spirit. It's not something we readily do. Many of us are not familiar with the idea of allowing God to control us. Rather, we want to be in control of our own lives and do what we think is best. Clearly, God's word, the Bible, shows us that we are called and encouraged to become people of the Spirit rather than people of the flesh. Today's reading from Paul in the book of Romans that Joe brought to us strongly reminds us that we are to walk in the Spirit and not in the flesh. And I want to share that reading again, but this time from the Message version. "Since Jesus has come, those enter into Christ being here for us no longer have to live under sin. A new power is in operation. The Spirit of life in Christ, like a strong wind, has magnificently cleared the air, freeing you from a lifetime of brutal agony at the hands of sin and death. In his Son, Jesus, God personally took on the human condition, entered the struggling mess of humanity in order to set it right once and for all, and overcame sin for us. Those who think they can do it on their own end up never exercising it in real life. But those who trust God's action in them find that God's Spirit is in them, living and breathing God. Being obsessed with self in these matters is a dead end. Attention to God leads us out into the open, into a spacious, free life. Focusing on the self is the opposite of focusing on God. Anyone completely absorbed in self ignores God and ends up thinking more about self than God. Has any of you ever experienced that in your own life? That person ignores who God is and what he is doing, and God isn't pleased at being ignored. But if God himself has taken up residence in your life, you can hardly be thinking more of yourself than of him. Anyone who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, into their lives won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he lives, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. It stands to reason, doesn't it, that if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. And when God lives and breathes in you, and he does, just as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be alive as Christ's. What is Paul saying to us? There is now no condemnation to those who walk according to the Spirit. The Spirit of life in Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. God sent his Son to be sin for us, that we might be righteous as we walk according to the Spirit. Those who live according to the Spirit set their minds on the Spirit. To be spiritually minded brings life and peace. The carnal mind is set against God, and those who walk in the flesh cannot please him. Yet you are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if you have Christ in you. If you do not have the Spirit, you are not Christ's. If Christ is in you, you are dead to sin, and the Spirit gives you new life. And if the Spirit of God is in you, he will give new spiritual life to your body through his Spirit who dwells in you. Seems very plain, doesn't it? Very straightforward to us. But what does it all mean? Well, it means if you've taken on Christ and determined to be a Christian, you are bound to walk in the way he has designed for you. No longer do you walk as you once did, according to your sinful fleshy nature, but according to the way the Spirit of God desires for you. You can walk with your head held high, no longer condemned. You now walk in God's strength and power, not your own. God's Spirit working within you has freed you from all condemnation of sin, and all guilt will be gone, and no longer will you be under accusation. God sent his Son to be sin for us. So now we are free from the enemy's clutches. We are now made right with God through the Holy Spirit working within us. And as we walk in the way of the Spirit of God, we will set our minds on godly things. And as we walk this way, we will experience real life and peace. The worldly way of thinking is against the will of God. We see that really every day. But people who walk in this way are not able to please God. And God's word says clearly, if you do not have the Spirit of God within you, you do not belong to God. However, if Christ dwells in you, you are alive to God and dead to your old ways. If you walk in the Spirit, you will experience the new life God has planned for you. If the Spirit of Christ is in us, the greatest desire will be to please him. We will want to have an intimate personal relationship with him. We will want to spend time with him. We will want to know his word and his ways. We will want to live in the way he wants us to. We will want others to know him in the way that we do. In many ways, this is the basis of the reading from Matthew's gospel today, that of being fruitful Christians. It all depends on the type of soil we are, how receptive we are to what God wants to sow in us. And in his gospel, Matthew relates the story of Jesus, as Jesus tells it. The story is about a farmer who scatters seed on various types of soil with varying results. Jesus is obviously using this story to describe how some people are able to accept him and others not. And reading from verse 19 of Matthew 13, the seed that fell on the hard soil represents those who hear the good news about the kingdom and don't understand it. The evil one comes and snatches the seed away from their hearts. As I mentioned earlier on, I thought I knew things, but obviously I didn't. The rocky soil represents those who hear the message and receive it with joy. But like young plants in such soil, their roots don't go down very deep. At first they get along fine, but they will wilt as soon as they have problems or are persecuted because they believe the word. The thorny ground represents those who hear and accept the good news. But all too quickly, the message is crowded out by the cares of this life and the lure of wealth and other things, so no crop is produced. The good soil represents those who truly accept God's message and produce a good harvest, 30, 60, or even 100 times as much as has been planted. The only way that you and I can be fruitful as Christians is to allow God's word and his ways to take root deep down in our hearts. Always it's a matter of what's in our hearts when it comes to us being fruitful Christians. And Jesus said, "My true disciples produce much fruit." And this brings great glory to my Father. And in John 15, 16, Jesus said again, "I appointed you to go and bear fruit that will last." Is your life bearing lasting fruit for the kingdom of God? And what type of soil are you? In Matthew 13, 15, Jesus explains why many struggle to be fruitful. And using the words of Isaiah, he shows that it's a matter of heart attitude which determines how effective we are to be as God's people. And always Jesus was on about where is our heart placed. And reading again, "For the heart of this people has grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their heart and turn so that I should heal them." Only as we are led by the Spirit of God are we able to see the things of God's kingdom. Are we able to hear the word of God? Are we able to understand with our hearts what God's kingdom is all about? It's a matter of being good ground, fertile and healthy. It's a matter of hearing the word of God, understanding it, taking hold of it, nurturing it and allowing it to fill us so that we will blossom into fullness of life. The true disciple purposes to follow through with a loving desire to please the Lord, to cultivate relationship with God, and to allow Holy Spirit to have full reign in their lives. And when we work in conjunction with God, we can achieve amazing things. And we heard it in the psalm, "Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I've sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments." When the Lord graciously stepped into my life, it was as if the light was turned on. I'm so thankful. When we work in conjunction with God, we can achieve amazing things. What's the implication? God is wanting us to realize that to be effective as his children and as his church, we must be dependent on him and not on ourselves. Paul explains in Romans 8, who is going to control us? What is our intention? Who's going to be our priority, God or self? I'm sure all of us here today wants to put God first. Why else would we be here? So how then do we go forward? It's all right to state these things, but how do we do it? How do we make God our priority? Well, first, it's a matter of decision on our part. We need to know God's truth and then follow it. Essentially, that's what the reading from Matthew is talking about this morning. It's a matter of knowing God's truth, taking hold of it, and following it. In our strength, we will never become better people. We can't improve our fallen nature through willpower or good intentions, no matter how much we try. But the good news is that God never intended for us to try to do that. He knew we couldn't transform ourselves. And so he sent Holy Spirit to live inside us. And as the Spirit releases his supernatural power in our lives, we are able to go beyond what comes naturally to us. And this is God's plan for every single believer. The work of the Holy Spirit in us is manifold, but four things are foundational to the life of faith. Holy Spirit illumines our mind, helping us to understand God's truth. Jesus said when he went, he said, "I'm going away, but I'm going to send the Helper, the Holy Spirit, to you to help you, give you information and understanding." So the Holy Spirit illumines our mind, helping us to understand God's truth. The Holy Spirit energizes our bodies to serve the Lord. Holy Spirit strengthens our will to follow through on doing what is right. Holy Spirit transforms our emotions so that we can feel and express the fruit of the Spirit. You know those: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Who of us doesn't want to exhibit all of those qualities? Only the Holy Spirit living inside of us has the strength and wisdom to live out the Christian life in victory. And that's why God gave us His Spirit, so that we could experience all the benefits of a godly life, not through our own effort, but in His strength. How do we release Holy Spirit's power? God's word makes clear that Holy Spirit indwells believers at salvation, which means His power is available from the very moment a person invites Jesus to be Lord of their lives. And Paul in Ephesians 1 says, it's in Christ, if Christ is in you, once you heard the truth and believe this message of your salvation, you found yourselves home, free, signed, sealed, and delivered by Holy Spirit. The very moment God came upon me all those years ago, I knew in an instant it was God. I didn't at that time, I did not understand what was happening, but I knew it was God's power touching me, and it indeed certainly turned my life around. If you have invited Jesus to be Lord of your life, then this is all speaking to you today. But how do we actually access and experience God's Holy Spirit power in daily life? Once again, God's word explains this to us. First, we need to acknowledge our need. This means we are to give Holy Spirit full authority over every area of our lives, not just over our spiritual activities, but also our workplace, our finances, our family, and our relationships. Holy Spirit will not release supernatural power into a life that is holding back or continuing in rebellion against Him. Thirdly, we must exercise faith. In other words, actively trust God instead of just mentally agreeing with Him. Faith is what releases the Spirit's power. It's as if we're saying, God, I believe you have a plan for me, so I'm trusting you to give me what I need to do your will. And when you step out in faith, He promises to provide for every need. However, it's vitally important that you don't just memorize these steps, but faithfully follow them through and live them out. Always remind yourself, I can't, but God can. His plans for me are for my good and for His glory. And that's the kind of life that overflows with the Holy Spirit's power. The very life that Jesus came to offer us, each and every one who hands their lives over to Him. And I believe this is what it is to be a real Christian. Let's pray. Father, I want to thank you for your word. I want to thank you, Father, for those, certainly that I have experienced along the path, who have led me on that continuing path towards you. And Father, I pray that for brothers and sisters gathered here this morning. Lord, we can do nothing without you, but in you we can do all things, as Paul says, because in Christ we are strengthened, we are encouraged, and we are guided and directed. So Father, I pray for brothers and sisters here this morning. I commit each one to you, Lord God. Father, I would pray for any who have not yet committed their hearts and lives to you, that this would be a challenge today to do so. For Lord, you are Lord of this world. Your word gives us very clear instruction that you are in control from beginning to end. You began all things, Lord, and we know that at the end you will hold all things together and wrap everything up. And so we're in your hands entirely. Father, I pray for any today who may not understand just who you are, who have not yet come into a place of experience with you, that by your Holy Spirit today you would touch hearts and lives and draw people to you, Lord. Show them, Father, that You love them beyond any measure. You loved us so much that you gave your only Son upon the cross, that we might be set free from sin and death and come alive to you and the plans that you have for us. So, Father, again, we thank you for your word, especially that leaves us in no doubt or hesitation that you are Lord and God, and your heart's desire is that you be Lord of our lives. And I pray for each and every one again, Lord God, that we would submit and commit ourselves to you afresh this day and say, Lord Jesus, we welcome you into our hearts and lives. Holy Spirit, come and take control. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your blessings in every way. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.